I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is June 7th, 2014. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, an essay by J. Lee Grady entitled, Seven Things That Prove God Is Real. He begins, there indeed are answers for atheist arguments against the existence of God. Lee, right out of the gate, you fell flat on your face by committing the logical fallacy of switching the burden of proof. Atheists do not need arguments against God, unicorns, or anything else. You are the one who is claiming God exists. Therefore, you have the burden to support your claims. After 2,000 years, we're still waiting. Lee wrote, when I was a journalist in my 20s, I needed to verify a fact about atheism. Lee, there is only one fact about atheism that you need to know, and that is the definition. Atheism is the rejection of religious claims, nothing more. He wrote, this was before the internet age, so I phoned the Texas headquarters of American Atheists. Madeline Murray O'Hare, the mother of modern atheism in this country, answered my call. Apparently, she had a very small staff. Lee, given the violent history of your ancient death cult, that shouldn't come as a surprise. Christian terrorism has succeeded in making most atheists identify as agnostics to avoid being fired, vandalized, or killed. There's an old saying, Lee, an agnostic is simply an atheist with a wife and kids. And that saying tells you way more about Christians than it does about atheists. Lee continues, her voice was gruff and she sounded angry and cynical, even before I identified myself as a Christian. Lee, I wonder how many Christians you would describe that way. Actually, Lee, I think we already know the answer to that one. You exposed your bias before you ever even opened your mouth, as you just admitted. He wrote, she answered my question and I hung up. Ever since then, I've felt intense sadness for people who deny the existence of God. Lee, I do too. I too feel intense sadness for people who have been victimized and murdered by ghost worshippers for daring to deny the existence of God. I also feel sadness for ghost worshippers who choose the wrong ghost or who shared your belief in the Jewish God but were nevertheless victimized and killed for not believing exactly as they did. Lee, you should look up the history of early America when European Christians first started arriving. When they weren't killing Indians, they were killing each other. He wrote, explaining her beliefs, O'Hare once said, there is no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell. There are no angels. When you die, you go in the ground. The worms eat you. End quote. Lee comments, what a sad way to view life. Lee, if creating imaginary friends and fantasy kingdoms is what you need to keep you from being sad, then please, create a way. Unfortunately, religions feel compelled to force their beliefs on rational people as well, and that is where we have big problems. Lee wrote, I'm sure Mrs. O'Hare would be upset about the new Christian film, God's Not Dead, which opens in theaters this Friday. The film features Kevin Sorbo, who played in the 1990s TV show Hercules, as an atheist college professor who tries to force a Christian student, Shane Harper, to rethink his beliefs. The film releases at a time when atheism is growing in this country. Lee, it must be hard to explain why your all-powerful God is losing the war to atheists. It must be even more humiliating to try to explain why Allah is also overtaking your worn-out God. By the end of this century, Islam is projected to pass Christianity and become the world's largest religion. My guess is that by the end of the next century, Christians will be battling Scientology to stay in the top 10. And Lee, they've got Tom Cruise. He said, I was never on the debate team in high school, so I'm not the best guy to take on evolutionist Richard Dawkins or comedian atheist Bill Maher in a televised argument. Lee, if this essay is any indication, you couldn't win a debate with Charlie Sheen, even if you could catch him sober. Lee writes, still, my faith in God is certainly not shaken when I hear these guys whining about how stupid or weak Christians are. Lee, I've seen those guys, but I didn't see them whining. When I saw them, they were having a hilarious time ridiculing your childish beliefs. Is that why your ass is burning? He wrote, they have a constitutional right to view life negatively. Lee, I don't remember that part in the Constitution. Perhaps you could provide a link to the section you are referring to. And why do you assume that not having imaginary friends necessarily implies that one must view life negatively? He wrote, but if I had a chance to give them my reasons for believing in God, I would list these. 1. Babies. I watched my wife give birth to our 4 daughters, and last month I visited my new grandson. I've stared at little Hananiah's cute face and tiny fingers, and the cleft in his chin resembles mine. How can anyone deny the reality of God when they see a baby? Lee, when a baby is born with half a brain and oozing blood while writhing in agonizing pain before mercifully passing away an hour later, do you see the reality of God then? Since you believe he is there, why didn't he help that child and its parents? Why did he forsake them? What kind of monster would allow that when he has the power to prevent it? If you are right and your God does exist, then Lee, you worship a horrible, evil monster. He wrote, the amount of information encrypted in one cell in the human body is equal to that of 1,000 books. The total amount of information stored in your DNA is 40 times more than that of the largest set of encyclopedias in the world. Lee, they sequenced pine trees that contain 7 times the DNA of humans. So it sounds like your ghost put a lot more effort into pine trees than he did into humans. He wrote, King David felt this sense of awe when he wrote, you wove me in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Life is truly a miracle. Calm down, Lee. Miracles are rare, unexplained events. Reproduction is one of the commonest occurrences on Earth and is well understood by scientists. 2, thunderstorms. I love to sit on my back porch in Florida and listen to the rumbling of thunder. It reminds me of God's majesty and power. Lee, this is getting pretty embarrassing. Thor was the god of thunder. Modern humans laugh at those ancient beliefs. Yet here you are, 2,000 years later, attributing thunder to an invisible ghost. Lee, it doesn't get much more embarrassing than that. He wrote, the Apostle Paul said creation was the best evidence of God's existence. Lee, the problem is a whole bunch of other guys made the same claims about their gods, and they have just as much proof as Paul did. Zilch. He said, Paul wrote, quote, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, end quote. To which Lee adds, nature is actually full of quantifiable miracles. Just consider the fact that the earth is the perfect distance from the sun to support life. Lee, the distance between the earth and the sun is constantly changing. The difference between the farthest and closest approaches to the sun is 3 million miles. So which are you claiming is the perfect distance? He wrote, if we were any farther from the sun, we would freeze. If we were even slightly closer to it, we would burn up. Lee, you should spend more time in astronomy books and less time in your Bible. There's a polar ice cap on Mercury and volcanoes on Jupiter's moon Io. So you have absolutely no idea what you are talking about. He said, it's obvious God created this home for us. Lee, next time you talk to your imaginary friend, Ask him why he made 99% of all the water on Earth undrinkable, thus allowing millions of humans and animals to die of thirst. Number 3, flowers. There are more than 400,000 species of flowers in the world, and most of them are not edible. Their job is to simply make the world beautiful. Did they just haphazardly evolve over time, or did a loving God create each individual shape and color scheme for our enjoyment? Lee, if God made flowers for our enjoyment, why did he create them 130 million years before he made humans? Lee said, people who choose to deny God don't spend enough time looking at tulips, snapdragons, orchids, lilies, lotuses, or magnolias. Lee, and people who do choose to believe in God spend too much time looking at tulips, snapdragons, orchids, lilies, lotuses, and magnolias. Number 4, the Bible. Paul wrote that, quote, all scripture is inspired by God, end quote. The Bible itself is proof of God's existence because he used 40 unrelated people over a period of 2,000 years to write his unique love letter to us. Lee, there are a whole multitude of problems with that last one. For one thing, we don't have any of the originals, so we have no way of knowing what your invisible friend wrote. And any biblical scholar will tell you about the fact that every copy has been altered by humans. I doubt if even God could recognize his own book now, especially considering there are dozens of different versions, with no two being the same. Lee wrote, there is nothing like the Bible because it carries the same consistent message throughout all of its 66 different books. Lee, the only thing consistent about the Bible is that it is consistently packed with contradictions. He wrote, atheists can laugh at this idea, but those who have read the scriptures and experienced God through its pages know why it is the best-selling and most translated book in all of history. Lee, is it really that hard to be the best-selling book in history when you could be killed for not buying it? He wrote, fact, 100 million copies of the Bible are sold every year. Richard Dawkins, The God Delusion, has sold 2 million. Lee, another fact, the God Delusion is winning. Christianity is crashing worldwide, while atheism is rising rapidly as humanity becomes ever more advanced and civilized. The age of ghost worship still reigns, but like the Roman Empire, the signs of its demise can be found in every nation on earth, even America. 5. The global spread of Christianity. Lee, go back and read what I just wrote. Christianity is not spreading. It is dying. He said, over the centuries, the gospel message has been vilified and ridiculed. Lee, those who did so were usually executed for blasphemy or heresy, so I'm not sure whom you are referring to. He said Roman rulers threw first-century Christians to the lions, and 20th-century dictators sent believers to prison camps. Actually, Lee, a 20th-century dictator, Hitler, was a Catholic who threw Jews into prison camps before exterminating them. As for the Romans and lions, Christians have spent the last 2,000 years returning the favor. He wrote, it is estimated that 70 million Christians have been martyred since the church began, and 40 million of those were in the 20th century. Lee, estimated by whom? Links, please. If you think that's bad, just wait until the end of this century. Christianity will lose far, far more people than it ever has before. But they won't have to be martyred. As humans advance, the Christian God, like the thousands of gods before him, will simply fade into the dustbin of history, and his brutal, savage followers will be remembered for the horrors they put humanity through. He wrote, yet today Christianity has more adherents than any religion, and numbers are growing in many parts of the world. Lee, the fact that Christianity has the most adherents is easily explained by what Christians did to those who would not submit. We see the same tactic being employed successfully today in Islam. But if you think Christianity is on the rise, you are deluding yourself. But then again, Deluding yourself is what ghost worship is all about, isn't it? He wrote, "Our faith is spreading because it is the truth, and history shows that when this truth is mocked and scorned, it actually spreads faster." Lee, earlier in this essay, you yourself even acknowledged the growth of atheism. Yet in your desperate attempt to give hope to your audience, you just contradicted yourself. Delusion is your last refuge. Number 6, Jesus. The most amazing thing about God is not that he exists, but that he loved us so much he was willing to send his son to earth to save us from ourselves. Lee, sending his son down to be tortured and murdered may impress you, but rational people find that disgusting. Thanks for showing everyone what your vile religion does to the brain. He wrote, "Jesus was with the Father from the time of creation." Lee, now you're just making shit up. The Bible doesn't say that. He wrote, "And his arrival was predicted numerous times in Old Testament prophecy." Lee, one prophecy predicted Jesus' name would be Emmanuel. The Bible kind of got that one wrong, huh? Lee continues, "Finally, he interrupted history and came to live among us. His crucifixion is historical fact, and his resurrection was verified by hundreds of witnesses. The man who perhaps knew Jesus best, the Apostle John, saw the risen Christ and touched his nail-pierced hands. Jesus is not an elusive fairy tale. He is the living, breathing, touchable Son of God." Lee, unfortunately, it seems your imaginary friend completely forgot about you. He promised to come back. Then a year passed, then 10 years, then 100 years, then 1,000 years, then 2,000 years. Lee, it ain't looking good. And finally, number 7. My personal friendship with God. Yeah, Lee, we know. You have a buddy to talk to. And the best part is, no matter what you do, no matter how awful, he will always forgive you. That is so sweet and convenient. He wrote, "Atheists may not be convinced that God exists after listening to a storm, smelling a hibiscus, or reading the Bible. When I am asked to defend my faith, I don't start with an intellectual argument." Lee, that was the best move you could have made. No point in getting into a gunfight with an empty gun. Lee wrote, "I have to go back to the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 1:12. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." Lee, sounds like you've been whipped so many times that you don't even try anymore. It's too bad that all those whippings didn't open your eyes to the possibility that you may be wrong. But we know why, Lee. As long as the threat of hell hangs over your head, no science, logic, reason, facts, or debate will ever be able to give you the courage to risk eternal damnation. Lee, a worm has a better life than you do. And he concludes by writing, "There are many reasons I am convinced God is real. The existence of coffee alone proves that he loves me. But the best evidence is how he forgave me, changed me, and put unexplainable joy in my heart. And I can prove that." Lee, that's nice. Now run along and play with your imaginary friends. You don't want them to get mad. And now we move to the science segment. Today, ancient giant virus brought back to life, still infective. Researchers have brought back to life a giant virus dating back to the days of the mammoths and the last Neanderthals. Others had resurrected ancient viruses before by reconstructing their genomes from old DNA, but this may be the first time that the ancient virus itself has proved viable. The researchers simply dissolved 32,000-year-old frozen soil from Siberia and mixed in amoebas, known hosts for giant viruses. Researchers studying the microbiology of permafrost collected that soil by drilling into exposed layers of a cliff face. That a giant virus was still able to kill the amoebas after all this time suggests other pathogens can last thousands of years in frozen soil, and as the planet warms, may be let loose. Unlike most viruses, giant viruses are big enough to be seen with a light microscope. Indeed, the first one discovered was initially thought to be a bacterium with comparable amounts of DNA. Since then, about 10 more have been found, including ones with more DNA than some bacteria, most infecting amoebas only. This new virus has some characteristics of other giant viruses, but represents a third group of these unusual life forms. It's the biggest to date, but only has about half the DNA of others. Researchers have samples dating back millions of years that they plan to test as well. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Thomas Paine. I will give no biography, as he has been previously quoted. Here's the quote from Thomas Paine. Whenever we read the obscene stories, the voluptuous debaucheries, the cruel and tortuous executions, the unrelenting vindictiveness with which more than half the Bible is filled, it would be more consistent that we call it the word of a demon than the word of God. It is a history of wickedness that has served to corrupt and brutalize.
Are you ready, Greece? Start walking!